I'm starting the recording now. All right. So, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Express Route Fridays. So, it is Friday, so we've got a great weekend ahead of us. So, welcome back with the Cloud Enterprise Black Belts. I'm your host, I'm Ron Abalera. I'm an Azure Black Belt. I'm part of the Global Black Belt team. One of the many things I do is Express Route, so that's why I'm here. And joining me are my partners in crimes, Jamie Schmidtke and Kevin Lopez, our partner gurus, as well as Kevin Sullivan, who is another technical architect who focuses on BCDR as well as Express Route. So welcome, everybody. So before we get started, just standard house rules here. This is a customer and partner-facing call. So welcome, everybody. Because it's a open call for everybody, we will focus on public information only, so we won't have any NDA-specific information to deliver here today. If you do have any specific questions that are NDA-related, feel free to hit us offline. You can just send us a note in the IM window, and we can take that offline as needed. For those folks who did join via Skype, there is an IM window for you to use to talk to the experts, ask questions throughout the session. We will mute the audience for the first 40 to 50 minutes or so to get through all the content and the guest speakers. So don't worry, you can feel free to ask the questions at any time. The sessions are recorded, and so we will paste the recording and as well as the content, the decks, and any sample code or anything else that you can use to help plan your connection to the Microsoft Cloud. So they'll be posted online later today at that link right there, which is aka.ms/ExpressRouteFridays. Excuse me. So, all right. So we got an action-packed agenda today. Can't believe it's already May of this year, so time's definitely flying by. So a few things that we will talk about today is the customer feedback poll. We'll cover a few Express Route Friday updates, as well as just go through our standard Express Route fundamentals for those folks who are new to Express Route. We will also have a deep dive topic of the week today. So joining us is Paul Andrews from the O3C5 team. So he'll talk a little bit more about the Express Route design considerations when you're dealing with software as a service applications on a private network. And rejoining us for our partner spotlight is our friends from AT&T NetBond. So Josh Michio and Jim are here today. They were actually the very first Express Route partner spotlight that we did back more than 8 months ago. So we welcome them back. And as always, we have an open Q&A for all of our customers at the very end. So it's your opportunity to ask the experts any questions. So regardless if it's a Microsoft-related question or AT&T question, feel free to ask us on the line. All right, so just want to start off with a couple of quick Express Route Friday updates. So as I mentioned, time is definitely flying. I can't believe it's already May. So just some quick facts about how we've progressed over time. This session has lasted over 8 months now, so it's amazing how much we've accomplished and how much things have changed over those last 8 months. We've been averaging over 220 folks per session. In fact, I think the last 2 months we've been maxing out the bridge, so we've been very thankful that you're joining us to learn a little bit more about how to connect to the Microsoft Cloud. All in all, we have had about 3,000 people attending this session, so that just amazes me how much we can reach through the session. Another reason why that time has flown by is that Captain America is finally here. So it's definitely something that we've been waiting for, at least some of us have been waiting for. So it's amazing that the time has just flown by so fast. The reason why I cover this topic, why time has been flying fast, is that summer is around the corner. So many of us are going to be taking breaks and vacations and doing some other things, as well as our fiscal year ending on June 30th. So this will be ongoing hiatus starting next month. So June 17th will be the last Express Route Fridays moving forward. So we will figure out if we will restart it again in a couple of months or so. And it really depends on your feedback. So hence the segue to it's a poll time now. So we're going to put a couple of quick polls right here about basically, how do you like it so far? Right, so depending on your votes and if you actually find us useful, we'll determine when and if we'll come back and what type of content that we'll be doing again moving forward. So feel free to please vote real quick on here, basically how are you liking it so far? So go ahead and vote real quick, and then we'll move to another question here on how we can do things better. All right, thanks for all the folks who voted. All right, keep them coming. Sounds good. All right, I'm glad that you were finding this super, super helpful. All right, so I know we don't have too much time for a poll, so I'm moving to this, to the next one. To this one. What can we do better? Right. So if we do come back in a couple of months, we would like to understand, you know, what kind of things can we improve upon? You know, what type of content are you looking for? You know, we do have a month left of content, so we do still have some flexibility in the different topics that we choose, the different partners that we invite to, you know, to present, you know, their session and their, you know, technical expertise to our customers. So feel free to let me know, you know, what are you looking for? Looks like we've got a tremendous amount on workload-specific guidance, which is good. We got a lot of new people as well, so thanks for joining. So some great, great votes today. So awesome. Thank you very much. All right. So moving back to the presentation. All right. So for folks who are having trouble with the slides, by the way, sometimes it is easier to log back out and then log back in, and hopefully the presentation will show up for you. All right, so back to the ExpressRoute content. So for the folks who are new to ExpressRoute, what it is, right, and what is, you know, how is it compared to the internet? So this is my standard internet versus ExpressRoute analogy, right? Both the internet and ExpressRoute get you from point A to B, right? This is essentially just another way to get to the cloud. So the internet, from an analogy standpoint, is kind of like that freeway on the left, right? So it will definitely get you from point A to B, but you never know the time of day. It could be congested, or it may get to the point where there's so much traffic that you need to reroute, you know, your route to get to a point B. So your drive is less predictable, right? But with ExpressRoute, ExpressRoute is more of like a tollway. Yes, you do have to pay for it. It is a tollway, but it is your private connection to the cloud. So it is more predictable from a experience standpoint. So you won't run into the congestion and the unknown, you know, performance of the internet. And one of the great things that we had talked about in the past is that ExpressRoute does have an uptime SLA. And as I talked about in the last ExpressRoute Fridays, when, you know, my internet had gone down 9 times during the, you know, the floods of Houston 2 weeks ago, you can't rely on the internet for some production workloads. So that's another reason why ExpressRoute becomes a good alternative for that. So to our standard marketing slide, that's exactly what ExpressRoute is. If you don't have it today, and you are using the Microsoft Cloud, whether you like it or not, you are using the public internet to get to those workloads. So that could be good for a lot of things, but if you are looking for a more private connection, right, and that's what ExpressRoute will bring you. And I did modify the slide a little bit for the folks who have seen this, or at least a variation slide in the past. ExpressRoute does give you that private connection from your WAN to the Microsoft network, but that's for the supported workloads, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the workloads as well that will still require internet access. But for the most part, there are quite a number of workloads that will be able to leverage ExpressRoute. All right. So even though we talk about ExpressRoute being this circuit, right, behind the covers, you're actually getting two. And another reason why we bring these connectivity partners on these calls is because it's really a two-sided coin. So they're managing your network, or at least providing the connectivity to a meet-me point, or what we call a peering location, and that's where the ExpressRoute circuit really begins. So it's really your on-ramp to the Microsoft network, and we give you a active circuit. So you get a primary circuit and a secondary circuit that's indicated by those two cylinders. And the different color-coded lines are actually your BGP sessions. So you as a customer get to pick which workloads or which cloud workloads that you want to enable. So if you only wanted to do infrastructure as a service and bring your own private IPs and that's all you wanted to do, that's completely up to you. You don't have to enable the other two peerings, but you can enable all three within the same ExpressRoute circuit. So we call it one circuit, but you're actually getting two logical connections and then multiple BGP connections to the different workloads. From the partner side, it can all depend. It could be one circuit, it could be multiple. So that's another reason why it's always good to talk to your provider and just see exactly how they're architecting it on their side. All right. So from a price and configuration standpoint, really there's three main things that you want to pick for planning Express Route. There's the bandwidth size, and we support from as low as 50 meg all the way to 10 gig. So that's really the size of the pipe that you can provision. That's the main one. The peering location is another one, and also picking the metered versus unlimited. So kind of like a cell phone plan, the way that we define egress is basically data that's leaving the Microsoft network through the ExpressRoute connection back through the to the ExpressRoute partner network, right? Basically going back on premises, put it simply, is what we call egress, and that's what is being metered. So we have the option for you to pay by the meter or do it unlimited. So it's really up to you. Zone one, zone two, zone three, those are if you're what do you call it, a global customer. So zone one would be US and EMEA. Zone two would be more Asia Pac. Zone three is Brazil. So those are just the egress to those back to those regions if you have a peering location. Most customers will probably fit in the zone one bucket, but just be aware that the price does depend on the size of the pipe as well as the type of data plan that you have, metered or unlimited. All right, so we also have a couple of new additions. We had presented this previously, but if you are an O365 customer and you do have 500 or more seats, we do have a premium SKU. It's available for both Azure and SaaS workloads, and there's multiple benefits for it. But one of the main benefits for having the premium SKU is you get global backhauling capabilities with ExpressRoute. So essentially, you can hit any Microsoft endpoint via the Microsoft network. So we will be routing that traffic on our fiber to wherever it's hosted, globally speaking. These are from the public endpoints perspective. So if you are an O365 customer with more than 500 seats and you enable the Microsoft peering, you essentially get that fee waived, which was a $3,000 add-on to the standard circuit price. If you have less than 500 seats, or if you're only planning to use the premium SKU for Azure workloads, then look at the price on the right. I know this can be an eye chart, so feel free to just take a snap of this slide, and we can answer any questions in the IM window. All right, so if you're trying to provision, ExpressRoute and get from an end-to-end perspective, try to make a simple workflow to just to be able to fit on one slide. So there's obviously each of these boxes have a lot of different content that you have to consider, but from just from a connectivity standpoint, just getting the circuit up and running, just follow this workflow, and then you'll be able to actually get a circuit up and running. So essentially, it all entails about getting a subscription and making sure that you get a lot of those network planning and prerequisites done. Right, there are some partner pieces that need to be completed as well, such as contracts, which can take some time. And then there's all the Azure specific work that needs to happen, whether you're wanting to use ARM specific workloads or ASM, also known as classic workloads. If you are new to ExpressRoute, then most likely then you will just be defaulting to the ARM workloads. That's just basically the latest and greatest management API that we have for Azure. And then you're just creating that circuit via PowerShell, our APIs, or through the GUI, right? And then from that, you get what we call a service key. And that service key is just a random number of characters and numbers, and that's what identifies your specific circuit. And that's the key that your partner will need to provision their side of the network. And then from there, will be all the workload specific stuff. And so this is all the BGP peerings. The reason why it's kind of got the different colors of blue is because there's some work that the partner may need to do, or the customer may need to do, depending on if you're a layer two or layer three customer. So many of our partners will take care of this aspect on behalf of their customers, but some may not. So it just kind of depends. Another reason why it's really important for you to work closely with your connectivity partners to ensure from an end-to-end perspective that you have all the planning and all the requirements done. All right. So another thing that we show from a cheat sheet perspective here, when you go through the PowerShell commandlets, or if you are looking through the GUI and provisioning a circuit, there's a lot of different variables that you want to to consider to be able to create your circuit. And these are things that you may have to ask your local network team on, you know, hey, so what's my VLAN ID and all that good stuff. So this is not something that you can just turn on in a day, right? So ExpressRoute is something that you do have to plan. You have to make sure that you have all the right folks that are engaged and all the right network-specific information to be able to create the circuit. The reason why I created this cheat sheet is that if you are planning to use PowerShell or the GUI, that these are the required variables that you will need to be able to create it. So all the highlighted stuff in yellow are the ones that are specific to the customer, and the ones that are in that greenish color are the ones that are specific to the partner. So obviously the basic information like the bandwidth, the peering location, are things that the customer will determine. They can pick and choose the partner that they want to use as far as billing and the SKU type. That's all something that the customer chooses. And then everything else from a workload perspective. And I've broken these into columns so you can choose which ones apply to you. So if you're only doing infrastructure as service workloads, then don't pay attention to the PaaS and the SaaS peers, which are the middle and right columns. So just focus on just the ones on the left. If you're able to gather that information and work with your network teams, then you can go ahead and provision that fairly quickly. Then obviously then you would set up all the VNets and all the different workloads specifics after the circuit's been created. Another thing that we've talked about, so another great talk that we had last session, which you're more than welcome to take a look at the video about this. So we have some really good guidance as far as how to build secure virtual networks in Azure. So these are more for IaaS type of workloads, how to design your VNets, how to design with UDRs, NSGs in place, network virtual appliances, right? You know, how do I build a DMZ? So we have different scenarios depending on how the customer wants to set it up. So this has been a popular topic to discuss. So we won't have time today to go through it again, but feel free to take a look at this link and look at the different scenario examples there. And feel free to take a look at the video from last ExpressRoute Fridays. All right. So as I mentioned, that it's super important to make sure that you work with your partners. We have a list of our SI partners who can help you. From a provisioning and planning standpoint, right? So a lot of the things that we'll reiterate during these sessions is that ExpressRoute and enabling these workloads is not as simple as turning on a light switch, unfortunately, right? It is a network project, so it's good to make sure to you have your partners in place and you know who they are, so you have the SIs ready if you have SI relationships with those, or MCS. Or and then also make sure that you have your connectivity partners in the planning stages and implementation stages as well. We do also have one network virtual appliance partner that was presented in the past. We can always invite more for future sessions as well if that's of interest for the folks on the phone, but definitely something to consider when you're planning and designing your connectivity. All right, so one of the things that we also talked about is that there are so many links on Azure.com and Office 365 and all the various workloads. Where's a good way to have all this information all in one, right, so I can help plan for this implementation project? So what we've done, and this is a living document, we have this PDF file that's available on that link below, where it'll help you, go through exactly, the different steps that you need from, planning the prerequisites, things that you have to consider. Are these workloads supported on ExpressRoute, right? What do I need to do for IaaS workloads? What do I need to do for PaaS workloads? What do I need to do or think about for SaaS workloads? So this is a document that we've been building over time. It's basically a checklist of guidance. So this will be sort of a guidepost for you, and it has a ton of different links for you to be able to find all sorts of useful information. We are always adding content as we're getting them in. So feel free to just look at that link to see if there's any updated copies. It's already been updated twice since the last time we've talked. So this will be something that will continuously be improving over time. All right, and talking about workload guidance, so our first guest speaker today is from our Office 365 team. So Paul Andrew has been one of our go-to guys as far as getting subject matter expertise around the Office 365 workloads. So Paul, feel free to take it away.
All right, thanks, Ron. As Ron said, my name is Paul Andrew, and I'm a technical product manager on the Office 365 team. And I've been working with Ron and the guys for a little while now, just working to onboard some of the customers, some of the larger customers who've been working to use Office 365 with Azure ExpressRoute. We have a few slides here just to look at some of the implementation and design considerations for working with Office 365 over ExpressRoute of things that we've learned. So I have about 15 minutes. I'm going to run through some of these. And the first slide, and Ron, you have to tell me if my presenter status has worked correctly. Have I gone to that next slide? Okay.
I see it.
So you may have been familiar with this slide, which shows some of the advantages for using Office 365 with ExpressRoute. And of course, there's Office 365 in the green cloud there. But I want to take a step back and think about what this means for connecting to Office 365. So here's a diagram which shows a customer sitting in their building in their on-premises network, and they're connecting over the internet to Microsoft data centers. And of course, Microsoft has various Office 365 servers in data centers across the world for Exchange and SharePoint and Skype for Business. And so this is the simple view as you connect over the internet. And simplistically, people you're working with, business folks, might assume that you're going to take that internet link and you're going to shift it from connecting to Office 365 over the internet to connecting to Office 365 over ExpressRoute. So I want to talk a little bit about what that means. And we have to add in some additional complexities because there are quite a number of other cloud, other internet-based services that we refer to as when Office 365 is used. Office 365 is built on the basis that it's a cloud service and that internet is always available. And originally, of course, that it was only connectable across the internet. So I've got a couple of examples there. DNS and CDN, which are not hosted in Microsoft data centers. They're just out there publicly on the internet. And then users who might be connecting from other locations. Maybe the customer has employees who are traveling and they want to connect to their Office 365 services as well. Well, they're still going to connect over the internet. So if we move this along and add an ExpressRoute connection in there, what we're doing is essentially the Office 365 services, which have public IP addresses and are publicly hosted on the internet, are now also able to be connected to across a private ExpressRoute circuit. And what that means is you have to keep that internet connection there for the other services that are required over the internet. But you've now got two connections or two routes from the customer's on-premises network across to Office 365. So we have to think about what that means in two aspects. One is we have to consider these internet-based services and parts of Office 365 that are still required to be handled across the internet. And the other is we have to think really carefully about these two routes that we've now created and what kind of traffic is going to run over each and how endpoints can decide which way they're going. So let's drill into that a little bit more. And the first one is thinking about the workloads. So we have this table that we've been sharing, which lists different Office 365 workloads that are available over ExpressRoute with Office for Office 365, and then some of the workloads that still require the internet. And so I just wanted to walk through those. And internet connectivity is always going to be required when you're using Office 365. So we look here, we've got Exchange Online and Exchange Online Protection. They're running in Microsoft data centers, and you can connect to those over ExpressRoute. Same thing for SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business, which, of course, is SharePoint Online, just hosted for individual employees rather than teams. And then Delve is part of that. The Skype for Business Online also runs in Microsoft data centers. Office Online is the web version of Office Client. So Office Online runs on our servers and you access it through a browser, and that's in Microsoft data centers as well. Azure AD, again, the same thing. Power BI and Project Online also. So all of these have a couple of things in common. They run in Microsoft data centers. They can be connected to across ExpressRoute for Office 365. And they are fully tested, and they're also the bulk of the data that you transfer between a customer site and Microsoft data centers. Most of the information is going to be, most of the traffic is going to be in Exchange and SharePoint and Skype there. Okay, so those are the easy ones. The ones that require the internet, I'll talk about in a little bit more detail. Standard DNS simply means we don't host DNS servers in Microsoft data centers. So therefore, these are on the internet and they have to be connected to across the internet connection. They're not going to connect across ExpressRoute because it doesn't provide internet connectivity. CDN, we use a variety of public CDNs for hosting static data. That's part of Office 365. And that connectivity to those CDNs, because they are not all in Microsoft data centers, some yes, some no, because most of them are not in Microsoft data centers, they have to have internet connectivity. And some of those CDNs are third parties. They're publicly accessible, people you will have heard of. Office 365 in China, this is operated by a partner called 21VIANET. It is not in Microsoft-owned data centers. Yammer currently is in Microsoft data centers, but is not exposed through ExpressRoute. Yammer, if you're following Yammer, was an acquisition that Microsoft made, and we have moved that, so it's now hosted in Microsoft data centers, but it is not yet, the routes to those servers are not yet provided over ExpressRoute. The two client downloads here, we've got Office 365 and we've got OneDrive client downloads. Both of these are hosted on public CDNs in order to improve performance, and so access to those doesn't go over ExpressRoute either. The first one is interesting to talk about because Office 365 Pro Plus client downloads, we have an alternative distribution mechanism for those where a customer can deploy them from within their organization, so somewhere on their local LAN. And what we found is that of the customers who are signing up for ExpressRoute, there's almost a one-to-one correlation between those and customers who want to have those downloaded from their local LAN into their users. So it's about a gigabyte of download for Office 365 Pro Plus. So if you have a large number of users, you're not going to want to download it over the internet anyway. So the fact that it's not stored in Microsoft data centers and not available over ExpressRoute typically isn't an issue for customers. Excuse me, on-premises identity provider sign-in. This is referring to if you have a third-party identity provider and it's running inside of your organization. Excuse me. The connectivity to that is required for any user of your service, and it's also required for Exchange Online to be able to connect to that. And that connectivity typically is not over ExpressRoute if the user is outside of your network, but that connectivity often is, may or may not, depending on your router configuration, for Exchange Online connecting to that. So there's a little bit more of that to come. eDiscovery and Office 365 Video both have components which are hosted in Azure Blob Storage for storage, and this is not routed over the Microsoft public peering, which is part of ExpressRoute. All right, so let's move on. I see there's a lot of questions there, but I actually have a ton of stuff to get through, so I'm going to keep going. Hopefully the guys are catching some of those, and I'll help to follow up with them on questions afterwards. So planning inbound versus outbound services. I mentioned briefly a couple of those services, particularly identity provider sign-in, might be inbound services. Of course, what I mean by this is you have a host that's inside of the customer network on premises, and you're connecting to that from the Microsoft network for some reason. Now, outbound services are much simpler. Of course, the steps you have to do there are pretty simple. You've got to accept the BGP routes from ExpressRoute. You've got to provide public IP addresses, and you've got to snap the traffic that goes out, and you've got to update your LAN routing in some way. Whether you do that with default routes, route propagation, pack files, or proxy servers, I don't know, but you've got to figure out some way to do that. And then for inbound services, we're a bit more complex. What this means is you're going to have to expose some endpoints that are inside a perimeter network, and they've got to be exposed over the ExpressRoute link to Microsoft. And we would typically recommend finding a way that you can disable as many of these as possible when you're first onboarding to ExpressRoute and for Office 365. And what this does is it enables you to stage your onboarding a little bit more than having a big bang rollout where you switch routing between internet and ExpressRoute for everything that's covered. Because there is a lot that's covered in that routing. And if you're able to implement your design such that you disable as many as possible of the inbound services, then you've got a lot less to worry about when you're first onboarding. So, of course, the steps that you have to do there are the same. Advertise BGP routes to the ExpressRoute router. And then you've got to carefully evaluate any kind of path asymmetry. So I'll talk a little bit about path asymmetry next. Path asymmetry is where you have a public endpoint, and it has a route advertised to Microsoft, but the route for request traffic is different to the route for response traffic. So let's take a look at an example of what might happen here. So here I have an example of a host in a DMZ, right where it says no source NATing. And right where it says that, we've got a host there, and it is accessible over the internet from Office 365. And the reason it's typically accessible over the internet is because you've set up ExpressRoute here, and in this instance, there is not a route that's advertised across BGP to the ExpressRoute circuit to that particular host that's out there on the DMZ. And so that host is accessible over the internet, and so Office 365 will be able to connect to that. Now, let's take the example of ADFS. Exchange Online periodically needs to connect to the ADFS server. So it's going to do that over the internet here, and then it's going to connect to a server inside of the network, presumably a domain controller, to do authentication. Now, depending on how the ADFS is set up, and there are right ways to set this up as well, but depending on how it's set up, that response packet may originate from the internal network, and if so, then it's going to look for the host that it connected back to. And if that's something that's advertised over ExpressRoute from Microsoft, then it's going to connect over the ExpressRoute circuit, as you can see the red dotted line there for the response. And this is what we refer to as an asymmetric path. What happens with an asymmetric path is your source IP and destination IP are identified as being different by the server that the packet is returned to, and so it's not able to match that up with the process that it's sending it back to. So we have to have this response, in this case, go over the internet, or we need the request, the route for the request to go over ExpressRoute, and the route for the response to go back over ExpressRoute. So this is something that you have to evaluate all of your inbound routing to make sure that this is not the case. We've seen a number of examples where people turn on routing over ExpressRoute and their inbound routing suffers from this kind of asymmetric problem. Fortunately, it's pretty easy to resolve. One way to resolve it is to find a way to not route the inbound servers over ExpressRoute and just leave them over the internet for the time being. This means there's only a single possible route to those servers. The second way is to use source NATing on the traffic that goes to those routers. Pretty straightforward to set that up and highly recommended. The third way is to change route costs so that the routing is set up correctly. A little more tricky and a little more thinking to go about in updating your route costs, but certainly another solution for this problem. Okay, so I just want to talk about implementation projects as the second thing that I wanted to talk about today. So if we think about the same diagram that we had where the customer is on the left and Microsoft is on the right, then when you're implementing Azure ExpressRoute and you're rolling out for connecting to VNets and virtual machines in Azure, it's possible to set that up with only making changes on your external router on your customer site. So this is possible for a single dev to go and use that. Typically, you'd be using that for a much larger configuration in your organization, but it is potentially really easy to set up and test, particularly for pilots and trying things out. If we switch to a typical configuration required for Office 365, you've got end users that you have to set up configuration for in connecting to ExpressRoute and connecting to Office 365. So there's a little bit of a difference here, and there's a lot more points of change in configuration that you have to think about when you're connecting to Office 365. Now, what we would like for you to do is think about this as a more significant implementation project and working through planning for that connectivity and then deploying that connectivity in as many stages as possible that can be tested each way along the lines. So let's talk about some of those parts of what an implementation plan might look like. So first up is thinking about requirements. What are the outbound services that you connect to, i.e. what are the workloads in Office 365? How much is Exchange used? How many seats are there of Exchange? How much is OneDrive for Business used? SharePoint sites and Skype for Business. What kind of Skype for Business protocols are used there as well? And then understanding existing network requirements for security and requirements there for HA. And making sure all of that is documented, because that information along with a network topology is something that you can use to sit down and maybe run a workshop to decide about how some of these things have to be laid out. A network topology is super important to understand before you start out. What we want to see here is identifying workload endpoints for Office 365 that you're particularly connecting to, internet egress points, and any inbound service endpoints that that are being connected to back from Microsoft. Particularly important to go through each of the inbound routing step by step. Planning of outbound routing. So this is where you're choosing whether to leak or advertise routes across the LAN, whether to just use a default route that goes to local routers on each network segment, whether you're using proxy servers for doing this, or if you're using pack files on the clients. Each of those needs to identify all of the IP addresses or network routes that are going to Office 365 over the Express Route circuit, and that needs to line up with the routes that are going to come back from Express Route over BGP. Inbound routing, as I mentioned, is much more interesting. We have potentially hybrid Exchange, where you have some Exchange servers on-premises and some Exchange servers which are part of Exchange Online. You might have a similar setup with SharePoint Online and hybrid SharePoint servers on-premises. SharePoint have actually removed all of the inbound traffic as part of SharePoint 2016, which was announced in an event earlier this week, which is very exciting. But a lot of customers still have SharePoint servers which require inbound traffic and connectivity. Skype for Business does also have some configuration options which have inbound connectivity, and of course ADFS, and there's a few other scenarios which are more minor, which may require inbound traffic. All of those inbound traffic, your customer will be familiar with the inbound traffic because they will know they've had to open a hole in their firewall from the internet. That's the giveaway. You want to go in and talk with them about any hosts which they've opened a firewall from the internet, which are part of an Office 365 configuration. And so each of those will have to be reviewed, essentially whether or not the connectivity to it is going to go over Express Route. So figure out for each of those how you're going to do that inbound routing, and then evaluate the potential asynchronous routes on each of those setups. And then part of asynchronous route evaluation and planning is going to be public IP, SNAT, and route propagation. So next step that we want to think about for a planning project is bandwidth requirements. Certainly SharePoint and Exchange can use a fair amount of bandwidth, and Skype for Business, if you're running voice and meeting content over an Express Route circuit, which we highly encourage you to do, is something that potentially could take up a lot of bandwidth. Figuring out what that will be is going to be a planning process that you want to run through. Typically, you're going to want to start with our Excel-based calculators, which will give you a rough rule of thumb for bandwidth. You should also start with looking at our guidance from Microsoft IT and how they do bandwidth planning across Microsoft for our enterprise. And then it's our recommended processes to go about looking at a pilot of Office 365 with a small number of users and seeing exactly how much traffic those users consume, and then multiplying that out to determine how much traffic will be required for the full user set, and making sure that you stick with a 20% headroom amount so there's always free capacity to avoid congestion on those links, of course. Planning for security requirements depending on what those security requirements are that you have from a networking point of view, and understanding that connectivity to Microsoft Office 365 servers across Express Route will have to be evaluated for those same security requirements as with connecting to Office 365 over the internet. What that means is if your customer has any kind of intrusion detection systems, intrusion prevention systems, firewalls, packet inspection filters, and those sorts of things, and they want to have those on their Office 365 traffic, then we recommend that they use those same things on their Office 365 traffic, whether it's on the internet or on Express Route. We do, of course, use HTTPS for all Office 365 traffic, so we encrypt all of the traffic. And we have firewalls at our site, and we're going to drop any traffic that's not destined for Office 365, but any other security devices need to be addressed as part of your planning for this project as well. High availability requirements, we recommend going through and addressing your high availability requirements. Ron talked earlier about the dual physical connections that we have on ExpressRoute, but how about if you have multiple offices and you have connectivity between those, what kind of high availability do you have on that connectivity? And a number of customers want to have multiple ExpressRoute circuits just in case one goes down, potentially with multiple telcos, because this means that you're typically on multiple physical cables out of the building as well. So planning for that, planning for a staged deployment, there's two ways that we'd suggest looking at a staged deployment. One is minimizing the services that you access over ExpressRoute for Office 365 as much as possible. And the second is doing testing on a one host, one network, one building model. And so this to me means having your routers and your firewalls set up with a single host behind them in a test environment, and then running connectivity tests across that for Office 365 services, inbound and outbound, and then connecting that to one network segment in your organization. This is a little more difficult if you have a WAN-based configuration such as MPLS, but we recommend the one network approach, then one building, and then rolling out to your organization after those tests have been successful. We recommend also having a rollback plan as part of your deployment, so that if during your outage and you're changing over your Office 365 internal users to ExpressRoute, you have a plan for how to roll that back should you have any issues while going through that. So I think I'm running out of time a bit here now, Ron. I talked briefly about a network assessment. I've got some details here about how to go about doing that. We have various ways of doing that. I think someone mentioned the http://aka.ms/tune, which is our TechNet documentation guidance for doing network connectivity assessments. We also have our bandwidth planners, our Excel spreadsheets there. We have a premier support offering, which is an Office 365 network performance assessment for customers who have Microsoft Premier Support Services, which is a prepaid support offering, and they will run a 3-day on-site evaluation of all traffic that's headed from the customer network to Office 365, look for any potential bottlenecks, and make recommendations about how that can be improved. We have separate connectivity recommendations for Skype for Business audio and meetings specifically. We have a partner channel at this URL, partnersolutions.skypeforbusiness.com, who are specialists in looking at Wi-Fi propagation and connectivity throughout the internals of an organization, looking at latency, congestion, jitter, and bandwidth required for voice calls if you're integrating with the PSTN, so some specialist knowledge there. And then we have a couple of detailed documents planning for network requirements with Skype, and a new one that we're coming out with in the next week or so, which is called Skype for Business Online Media Quality and Network Connectivity, which will have detailed specific requirements for each of the measurements that you can look at in terms of network, particularly things like jitter and congestion that we need to take a look at. Okay, so my final slide here is talking about a couple of common misunderstandings that we're seeing with customers using Office 365 over ExpressRoute. I did call this out already, but internet connectivity is still required for Office 365, and there's no two ways about that. Internet connection is going to be required. ExpressRoute should be considered an IP network connection, not a security device. This is a great way to start out with talking with Office 365 clients in an organization and people who are responsible for that part of the business, is to talk to them about it as a network alternative and not something more than that, because some of these misunderstandings have come from that. ExpressRoute gives you predictable performance, but there are a couple of reasons why it may not necessarily give you better performance than the internet. One of interest is Microsoft Office 365 actually has connectivity from our network, our global network, in 23 countries and 50 locations. And so when a customer sets up their express route connectivity, if they aren't able to match that kind of mesh operation, they have users in multiple locations, it's likely that many of the users will actually have longer paths going over their own connection than if they were just to connect to the closest internet connection point. So you're going to get predictable performance, which does mean you can get better performance, but there is some work to do in order to get better Office 365 performance over express route. I talked about turning it on and turning it off. It is turned on for all users inside of the network segment where the routes are exposed to, so watch out for that. Also, ExpressRoute is not a way, because of course it's a network connection, not a security implementation, but it doesn't provide a way to restrict which Office 365 tenants are connected to. And then the last one here is throttling, all of our Office 365 throttling mechanisms to make sure that we share with other tenants on a multi-tenant service are still there when connected to over express routes. So it's not going to reduce those. All right, so Ron, here's my summary slide here, and I'll hand back to you, and we'll take a look at some of these questions in the chat window there for you. All right. Thanks very much for the time, Ron. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul, for that. And just everyone, just take that link as well, that aka.ms ExpressRoute Office 365. Use that as the landing page to go through a lot of different specific guides on that. So Josh from AT&T, are you on the line? So we'll hand it off to our partner spotlight with the AT&T NetMod guys. Josh, I know you had some connectivity issues earlier. Can you hear us? Let me unmute you and see if that will help. Josh, you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Feel free to take over the presenter, and you can advance the slides.
Okay, great. We're going to jump right into it. So from a NetBond perspective, let me know if you're seeing the slide switch here. So I'll hit take over presenter.
Okay, it's loading. All right, you got it.
So I appreciate the lead-in, because it's actually great information on designing, especially for the Office 365 environment. I'll add to it, and I'm not going to go deep into that level of information today on the O365 connectivity specifically, but I will add, I spend a great amount of time working with customers on O365 deployments via AT&T NetBond.
We lost you, Josh, or maybe it's just me.
No, we lost him.
Looks like Josh needs to get ExpressRoute for his Skype for Business connection. Let's see if Jim is on the line. Oh, there he is. Let me make him presenter again.
Now Josh is on mute.
Okay. Josh, you there?
All right. I am, though. My bad, guys.
Yep, you're good.
All right. Sorry about that, guys. As Ron said, I've been having an issue with some connectivity this morning. But in any case, great lead-in. We spend a lot of time working with customers, making sure that their O365 design via ExpressRoute and NetBond really works in the private network. There's all of the points that were made around the asymmetric paths, keeping server-to-server traffic on internet in some cases versus private connection or at least planning for it to determine which way you're going to go on it is extremely important. And I'll touch on that a little bit as we go through. So excellent lead in. So what AT&T NetBond really is, as Ron said early on, the other side of the coin to the ExpressRoute connection. So it's the provider side of the connection into AT&T's MPLS network. And I'm going to jump ahead a bit because we're running close to time. The goal being ultimately to really take those enterprise customers that either are already AT&T customers or who are looking for a private connectivity to Azure or Office 365 and really meet the enterprise requirements, really giving them better control, network security, performance, and doing it in a cloud-like manner, right? So we want to allow for elasticity for a usage-based model and really keep it simple to use. Allow them the security options that they need and keep it on a private network, which is key to most of our enterprise customers. So just a quick comparison of the different models, right? I mean, there's certainly different models that you can connect into both Azure and ExpressRoute with. We actually help customers with all of them, whether it be, you know, going through their corporate data center and doing IPsec type of connectivity out to the cloud providers via internet, right? We certainly are an internet provider in that realm. Whether it be providing point-to-point connections into an interconnect site that can go to Microsoft ExpressRoute. But both of those solutions really end up, you know, quite a bit more complex than what we could do with NetBond from a connectivity and planning standpoint. And they don't always deliver on what most of our customers are looking for, which is, in a lot of cases, their initial deployment reason for cloud is, you know, the ability to reduce costs, reduce complexity in the network, while keeping and maintaining the same enterprise level of service that they have come to expect. And so internet in some cases, you know, you have issues with DDoS, you have issues with congestion on internet at peering point, common problems that happen, which are largely outside of the customer's control, and where it's an enterprise grade app, so something, you know, such as O365, where they've got to be able to get the email, they need Skype to work, etc. You know, doing some of those things over pure internet for their corporate users might not be the desirable path, but NetBond certainly fills that need. When you look to a do-it-yourself approach where they can build out connectivity directly into an interconnect site, it can be very complex to do, right? There's a lot more that you have to take into account, not only delivering circuit, verifying redundancy, but also then just configuring connections, which is not always easy. You have to deal with routing, the BGP details, VLAN details, all of those things needed to connect out to the ExpressRoute. Whereas what we've done on the NetBond site to the right of the slide here is we're really taking the AT&T MPLS VPNs, and it could be any MPLS service we have. We have several of them. And connect those directly to ExpressRoute without having to put in any new circuit, without having to have lead times for that matter. I mean, it's completely on-demand service. It's completely portal-driven. There's no need to even engage your account team once you've signed contract for NetBond. Your customer can go into the self-service portal, create the connection, and be up and running in just a few minutes. And that's true whether we're talking about Azure private, Azure public, or going out to Office 365. And so as you can see on the screen here, we actually have a number of connection points, and I've touched on a lot of the other points, but for Microsoft specifically, we connect to O365, we connect to Azure private and public, all via ExpressRoute, right? We also connect into Microsoft Government Cloud, so that's one of the more recent additions that we've done. We connect in a number of locations, certainly not all of the countries and peering points that Microsoft has out there yet. This list is expanding continually, but we have connectivity in multiple points in the U.S., multiple points in Europe, and multiple points in Asia Pacific region. And so one of the points that was made, just to really quickly touch on it, about you're trying to ensure performance, especially with Office 365, with SaaS applications in general, is that because of the way DNS works, because of the way proxy configurations work, quite often performance is impacted if you only have a connection to, you know, via ExpressRoute to Office 365, just in the U.S. as an example. Your EMEA users end up having to come a much further way to get to, you know, the web portals and other applications and services if they need to that way. What we've done with NetBond is it's actually quite easy to have connections in multiple regions so that, you know, via routing, they're going to route to the closest Microsoft data center in that case so that, you know, EMEA users can go via London or Amsterdam to get to, in case of something like an Outlook front end where they're actually going to the, you know, Outlook web portal, going to the front ends that are in region with them that they may be receiving IP tag based on, you know, regular DNS lookup. Versus having to come back to the U.S. and then being routed somewhere else. So there is certainly performance considerations around determining which locations you connect to and where, and particularly different speeds in different regions as well. All those are things that we assist our customers with from a design perspective, and it's in a collaborative nature, right? We work with Ron and Paul and the other black belts and SEs within Microsoft in a side-by-side model to really collaboratively deliver a good performing solution for customers in this realm, right? So very key to that design aspect that was mentioned in the previous talk. Just at a high level, I touched on this in the previous Express Route Friday that I did last year, one of the first ones, as Ron said before. So this is our infrastructure. It's a very simplified infrastructure. This goes to Azure Private in this case. But our customers' MPLS VPNs that sit on the AT&T MPLS backbone, we essentially extend that MPLS VPN out to a provider edge router, which is directly connected to Microsoft via what we consider basically backbone links. And so a customer, when they want to connect their MPLS VPN, they go into a portal, they configure the connection. It's just a couple of steps on the AT&T site to do so. And usually within 4 to 7 minutes, about the time it takes to turn up the connection once you hit submit, that connection is completed out to ExpressRoute and then could be linked back into your VNet from there. So it's very straightforward. We actually deal with all of the BGP routing. We deal with all of the VLAN assignment. The only thing that our customers need to provide us is an IP block to use for that peering. They don't have to think about the routing or anything else past that. Now, if there is a need to manipulate routing, we also offer features for that, and I'll talk about that here in just a minute. When we get to our SaaS service, it's a bit more complex because with SaaS, and this slide says infrastructure at the top, but it's really our SaaS services. So to get to Azure Public or out to Office 365, you have to be coming from public IP. So we automatically, via our SDN architecture, in the middle of the slide here, you see these VNAT A and VNAT B. This simulates two customers on our backbone. We completely segment the customers end-to-end, all the way to ExpressRoute, and we spin up virtually a NAT router at each peering point that a customer wants to connect to ExpressRoute with. So for customer A, we're going to turn on a virtual router that's going to NAT everything that's from their internal IP space into an AT&T assigned public IP to be able to communicate out to Azure Private or out to Office 365, depending on which peering type they chose. We also, in the Office 365 space, have developed a reverse NAT feature. And that reverse NAT feature is specifically for those customers who are doing integration between servers. So Active Directory integration as one example, that's probably the most common example, but there are others where there needs to be dips from the Microsoft servers back into customer servers, for data. So anytime that information has to, the information flow is requested from a Microsoft server, they can use reverse NAT to do that. And that's all standard as part of our offering. It's just a matter of configuring the NAT to go to whichever servers you need to. And so that was part of the talk before about deciding whether you keep something across the internet or whether you go across the express route to it. We've built in all of those static NAT and dynamic NAT capabilities so that a customer doesn't really have to go solve for them in their devices or in their network. It's just configurable via a portal. I'm going to jump ahead because we just have a couple of minutes here. So really our strategy is we're continually to evolve the platform, right? So we've had NetBond for a number of years now. We've been up with the ExpressRoute since the beginning, essentially. And, it's been a great partnership, but it's growing, right? We've added Office 365. We're adding features continually as we go. And that's going to continue to be the case. So we're adding more use cases, so more network use cases for customers that may have some of what I'll call the more niche network types out there. So we're adding those capabilities to the network, certainly above and beyond our straight MPLS option. And then we're adding features. And features is really key. And so you kind of noted here by delivering advanced solutions. As we've gone through this journey, right, things are not always as simple as just saying, well, you turn it on and it's there. You know, certainly that is the implementation of it, but the design of it is still, it's still a process just like we design any network. And so we have a number of functionalities, including our route management toolkit to manipulate routing both coming to and from ExpressRoute and any cloud provider. If you only want to send certain routes to Microsoft or only want to receive certain routes, and that goes specifically there's additional features, but also with the community of value functions that Microsoft is releasing later this year to start marking routes as to which service they came from. So in this case, you would be able to block Outlook while keeping SharePoint as an example if that was something you desire to do. We deliver SLAs across all of it that match our MPLS network. We have firewall options for customers who want to have firewall. They can turn firewall on. They can, we're continuing to add additional security features and other network functions features, throughout the year and continue on after that. So, there will be more features coming, in addition to the firewall functionality we already have today. So I think with that, that's, the major points of the slide that I had. So, I'll pass it back to Ron at this point.
All right. Thank you, Josh. So, thanks again to our AT&T friends, for that partner spotlight. Hopefully, most of you are still on the line. I know we've, had, couple more minutes left, it looks like, for a Q&A. So we'll stick around for a little while if you have any other questions that weren't answered in the IM window. So I'll go ahead and unmute the audience at the moment. So feel free to go off of mute. We'll stay an extra few minutes to answer any questions verbally. If not, feel free to look at the IM window and ask away. If you don't, we'll just see you later and have a great weekend. But feel free to stick around. Let's see if there's any outstanding questions, Kevin or Jamie, that we've missed so far.
Yeah, the timing for process for ASM to ARM, that's already out, right?
Ah, yes. So yes, as far as the ability to use a single circuit now to connect ASM and ARM resources is available now. We presented that a couple of sessions ago, so feel free to take a look at that. So essentially, you provision an ARM circuit, and you enable the classic operations so you can link an classic VNet or VNets to a new ARM circuit. So that way you're not having to create double or multiple circuits to handle both environments. So we have a link for that on some of the on the step-by-step guide on how to do that, and we also have a video on that as well. So feel free to take a look at the Express Route Fridays link, and we've got some more detailed information around that.
Did I read earlier that there's a full recording available of this, or is that not something you're publishing?
No, we actually do publish all the videos and the decks to aka.ms/ExpressRouteFridays. So we'll post it as soon as this video compiles.
I copied that earlier.
Yeah,
so it's great. Thanks, guys. This was very very informative.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that feedback.
Any other questions we missed? Yeah, I see one just specifically, does ExpressRoute work with AVPN? And the question is absolutely yes. So AT&T AVPN is the AT&T MPLS flagship product, and absolutely it works with it as well as any of our other MPLS services.
Yep, great question there.
What about route advertisement? Do you guys have a limit? I remember somewhere back in the documentation seeing something about a 4,000
Let me answer and then let the Microsoft guys answer as well. Yeah, but there's route limits with all PSPs to a degree. But on the AT&T side, we have actually built into the route management toolkit the ability to do route summarization and other functions like that. So we certainly have some customers who want to do full routing, and they can do that as long as they're under either the 4,000 standard or the 10,000 premium limit. If they want to summarize, they can also do that as well at the NetBond end. Most of our customers have looked to do that more recently, in fact, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, so for the route limit on the Microsoft side, so you do see the 4,000 for a standard and 10,000 for a premium. So that's the number that a customer can advertise to Microsoft. But as far as the IP, you know, space that's going to be advertised from Microsoft, that's a different question. It's definitely not in the 4,000 range.
Sure. One last thing then would be dynamic routing. Do you guys have any quick statements on that, or do you have white papers that you could point me to?
All BGP based, so it is all dynamic. Certainly, it's all automatic in that case as well. So from the AT&T side, as soon as you turn it on, we begin advertising the routes to Microsoft automatically, and we start advertising into the MPLS network the routes received from Microsoft. So it's completely dynamic in both directions on both sides, both Microsoft and AT&T side.
Yep, it's all BGP. So yep, as soon as you enable those BGP peers, that's essentially the peering commands or going through the GUI.
Sure.
So once that's enabled, and then once it's connected to the AT&T network or a provider network, that's when the BGP advertisements start flowing.
Right.
Okay.
Good questions.
Great questions. Any others? Any brave souls out there?
I'll just end by saying appreciate the time, guys, and hopefully this was helpful.
Absolutely. Josh, we always love having you here, and you're always very informative and knowledgeable about all the things related to AT&T, so thank you.
All right, great, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, Josh.
Paul and Kasia and everybody else who joined, so thank you for hopping in as well. And, Paul, a big thank you for presenting your section there.
You're welcome, Ron. Good to be here.
All right, everyone, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you all.